Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket at will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
It's a Friday edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson as we get set to wrap up this week. This one went by in a hurry, didn't it?
Went by quick.
It's a fast week.
It was a fast week. That's good, though, because we're getting closer and closer to the start of high school football.
In fact, tonight we have the blue and white and black and gold game for both Carbon and Emory. And then next Friday at this time, you and I are going to be on the road traveling to Millard to call Emory and Millard. Carbon will be at home next week against American Leadership Academy. A lot of intrigue around this high school football season. First-year head coach Phil Howa at Carbon High. Coach Howa's been a helper for 28 seasons. Now he makes the jump to the high school level. And then on Emory's side, you have Coach Famalo, who's done a really good job of attempting to build a program, and now it looks like it may actually pay off. Emory was so young last year, so many key players coming back at key positions. They had a great offseason. It appears that they have their quarterback moving into the season, and so I'm looking forward to the black and gold game tonight, looking forward to the football season in general.
Yeah, me too, like you said. Famalo's had to take the time to build that thing from the ground up. He's on the right path doing that. And Carbon has a new voice and a new leader, so the kids at Carbon seem excited for Howa, so it should be fun.
Yeah, definitely. High school football again tonight. We'll get the blue and white game and the black and gold game for Emory as well. Also on the local sports front, we're going to talk soccer here in just a bit. Both Carbon and Emory were in action yesterday. Carbon opens up the season with a monstrous 6-0 win over Union. It's a very well-coached team. There's no question. The Carbon Dinos, very well-coached team. Emory, unfortunately, drops to 0-2 with a loss yesterday. But we will give you the local sports recap. That's coming up in just a bit. Let's take a look at the national sports scoreboard. We did have one day basketball game, and it just so happened to be the Utah Jazz and the San Antonio Spurs. This game did not air here on KOAL. You didn't miss a whole lot. Really a lackluster game. San Antonio picks up a 119-111 win. And in this Jazz game, it was so similar to what we have seen from a number of teams. The Jazz are in the playoffs. They know they're in the playoffs. And the starting lineup today was weird.
Bunch of undrafted guys, second-round picks.
Yeah. I mean, really, no Donovan Mitchell, no Rudy Gobert. Jordan Clarkson played well off of the bench, scoring 24 points. Tony Bradley played really good coming off the bench tonight. Today, I should say. 15 points, 11 boards in 22 minutes. But the Jazz lose. They lose a game that was highly important for San Antonio as that playoff race continues to heat up in the Western Conference. I mean, we're getting down to the final three games. And because there's only three games left, we know for a fact that there will be a play-in series in the Western Conference. Because Memphis is now tied with Portland at 32 wins. San Antonio and Phoenix trying to run down the Blazers or the Grizzlies. And with three games to go, both San Antonio and Phoenix, they're only two out. So San Antonio had to have this win today if they wanted to remain in playoff contention. This is a really weird thought, but I was thinking about this yesterday. The bubble in Orlando, it's worked, right? Everything's worked.
It's done a good job. Yeah, it's worked.
But as teams start to lose, they're going to just leave the bubble. I don't know why I find that so strange. Like, I never thought of this. Because high school sports, college sports, we see it all the time. When you lose, you leave. You leave the tournament. We've never seen this for the NBA. So here in the next 3 days, about 6 days, the Wizards are going to be gone. They're no longer going to be in the bubble. You look at the Western Conference, we are going to have New Orleans, Sacramento, they're going to be done. Possibly Phoenix and San Antonio. We're going to have five teams leave this bubble and their season is just over. After everything that's gone on over the last couple of months, 8 games, 11 games at the absolute most, and the season's over, you leave the bubble and you go back home. I guess I just never really thought of it that way.
Right? Okay, I never either until you just put it in those kind of terms.
It's like college basketball. It's like high school basketball, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're staying in a hotel. You're at one central bubble, and when you lose, you go home. Like, you leave that bubble, and we're going to be down five teams moving in about the next 6 days. I don't know. For some reason, I never thought of it like that until last night. Let's take a look at the schedule and what we have happening in the NBA moving into the evening. In fact, we do have one game going on right now. Memphis is steamrolling Oklahoma City in the fourth quarter.
They were down 18 in the first half. Jordan came back, and they've turned it around.
Oh, they definitely have, taking a 17-point lead into the fourth quarter after being down by a double-digit deficit. Also, we have Brooklyn and Sacramento going at it right now. This one has been tit-for-tat throughout the game. Brooklyn right now clinging to a short lead. And again, that's an important contest. If Sacramento loses, then they're all but finished for this season. And I kind of feel the same way with Memphis. I felt like the Grizzlies had to have this game against Oklahoma City.
Yeah,
I felt like they had to have it.
Because they haven't won yet. If they don't win this one, what, they're 0-5 in the bubble?
Yeah, and you have Portland, who will catch them. I mean, regardless if they win this game or not, Portland is going to catch the Grizzlies. And we'll talk more about the Blazers next segment here on the show. Because I think Portland can really cause some problems, even for the Lakers. I believe Portland's going to be a tough out. But if the Grizzlies lose this game, Phoenix is playing so well that Memphis...
And the Spurs are right there, too.
And San Antonio's there, correct. And I know the NBA put together a grand scheme to get Zion in the postseason, but I don't believe anyone would have thought that it was possible to not see Ja Morant or Zion in at least a play-in game, the way things were built for this bubble. Memphis had to have this game, and it looks like they're going to get it, a big win over Oklahoma City if they can close things out. 4:30 tip-off, Philadelphia at Orlando. You know, we haven't even talked about the injury to Ben Simmons, which is just a crushing blow to this Philadelphia 76er team. Ben Simmons is one of the most versatile players in the league. I know people in Utah hate him. The reason why people in Utah hate Ben Simmons is because he took the Rookie of the Year away from Donovan Mitchell. That's the only reason why.
And Ben Simmons was the Rookie of the Year that year.
Yeah, technically. Technically, it was his rookie season, I guess. If that's the way you want to play it, sure. I really don't care. When you look at this kid and you look at the talent that Philadelphia has, they have absolutely underachieved. And now you're going to lose Ben Simmons for the foreseeable future. And just looking at the standings, by the way, it was a partially dislocated kneecap that he suffered a couple of days ago. And just looking at the standings in the Eastern Conference, Philadelphia right now is 6. They can't drop any lower than 6. I think they're stuck there, which means they get Boston in the first round. And in my mind, that was a potential Eastern Conference championship matchup at the beginning of the year. And so we put all this focus on the West, but the East is starting to look interesting. Really, Milwaukee and Toronto were safe. But Boston, Miami, Indiana, Philadelphia, any which way you slice it or dice it, it's a tough matchup for either of those squads in the first round.
Yeah, I want Boston-Philly first round. I think that's awesome. It's an old school matchup.
It is. It is. Let's move over to Division, we got to call it Division 1, FCS. There will be no football season in the FCS. The playoffs have been shelved for the fall, and they may return for the spring. Okay, so this was something that we talked about yesterday. I started the show but with the possibility of the Big Sky saying no go for the football season in the fall. At that point in time, it had been reported, but it had not been confirmed. And this is basically what the NCAA put as a mandate. 50% of eligible teams had to participate in the regular season if a college football playoff was going to be had. That's no longer the case. Big Sky opts out. That affects Southern Utah and Weber State. Now, 8 of the 13 FCS conferences are not playing in the fall. The CAA, Ivy, MEAC, Northeast, Patriot, SWAC, they've all made the announcements last month. The number of schools not playing is now 75 out of 127 programs. And really, when you look at it, I have to wonder if this is just, if it's inevitable that this trickles over into the FBS. I hope not. Something tells me that the FBS is going to do everything they can to get their season. We talked to Phil Steele earlier this week. He says he believes that there will be college football just based off of his interactions with the coaches. And I know you're talking money. That's the reason why. But Travis, I think it's even more important for the FCS level that a football season occurs for athletics across the board.
That's a huge hit.
Well, it's a huge hit. I mean, it's monumental, really, when you look at it. There are some athletic departments that will be in dire strait if we do not have a football season. There's so many guaranteed money games that FCS teams no longer have. And again, I follow Southern Utah. I talked to several people at Southern Utah. It was a down year for the Thunderbirds to begin with, because I believe they only had one or two guaranteed big money games. And what I mean when I say guaranteed big money games, when you see Chattanooga take on Auburn, and we laugh and we poke and we make fun of it, it's a huge payday for Chattanooga, and it funds their athletic department, a majority of it.
Yeah, for like the entire year.
Just for that one game. I mean, they're making sometimes seven figures, 6 to 7 figures, to go get completely demolished. When you look at the FCS structure, this is not good. I understand that the FBS will more than likely play their season, at least that's what they're trying. But the FCS has to figure out how to have a spring semester season. And I don't even know if that's possible. I don't know what it would look like. But again, no big surprise, because the news trickled out yesterday that the Big Sky would not have fall sports. And that seems to be the case all the way across the FCS. The FCS playoffs have been shelved for the fall, and now they'll try to get something figured out for the spring, similar to what the NJCAA has done.
Got to figure it out. They got to figure out a way to try to salvage some of the season, if not, you know, when they push it back to the spring. But they got to get those games in to recoup that money. They just have to.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We're going to talk NBA basketball with a great friend of mine. Jabari Davis is going to join us over the phone. And we'll talk some more Major League Baseball. We are about to kick off. The first pitch is about to be thrown, actually, as we speak, between Baltimore and Washington to set off the afternoon game. So we'll talk about that when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.
Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year.
It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Throw it down. And the Blazers win the series for the first time in 14 years.
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarino on KOAL 750 AM.
Had a few day basketball games, one of which was the Utah Jazz. Suffered a loss to the San Antonio Spurs, 119-111. As we talked about during the intro to the show, a little bit of a different look for this Jazz team today. And I think you're going to see more of teams resting starters, knowing that, well, the seeding may in fact mean very, very little. We're going to talk about that and more right now. Joining us over the phone, great friend of mine, longtime guest of the show, Jabari Davis. He's also the co-host of Dunks and Discourse, the podcast. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Jabari, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
Jordan, you know it's absolutely always my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we have plenty to talk about, including your show, Dunks and Discourse. We'll get to that in just a bit. Jabari, everything that's going on right now, however, in the NBA bubble, we're starting to heat up. We're now on the back half of the seeding games. And so right out of the gate, your thoughts on how things have gone so far in the bubble?
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I had a lot of reservations going in, and to be honest, I think they were natural. And of course, while everybody's health and safety remains a concern, I have to say the NBA, the Players Association, and their partners with ESPN, they've knocked it out of the park, in my honest opinion. And I'm not being, you know, Homer guy, because you know I'm straightforward. And if it didn't look right, or if they, you know, I didn't like the broadcast or whatever the case may be, or if the basketball simply wasn't good, I would say that. But the truth of the matter is, I thought the level of basketball wouldn't quite be where it, you know, where it was when they returned. So it's, you know, kudos to the players for being in shape, and the teams and staffs for making sure that everybody, you know, was still engaged and on board. But really, you know, like I said, across the board, I have been very, very impressed with what the NBA has been able to do. Not to cast a negative light at other leagues, but when you see what other leagues are going through, or what they have or have not done in preparation for this by comparison to the NBA, I'll be honest, the NBA is knocking it right out of the park.
No, I agree with you 100%. And you go ahead and throw shade at some of the other leagues that are going on right now. We're both big baseball fans, and the bottom line is there are problems with Major League Baseball's system. They had an opportunity to play in the bubble. They decided not to. I think when you look at the leadership of Adam Silver, I don't know that you can overstate just what type of a commissioner he has been. And Jabari, there have been times during his tenure where I've thought, I don't know if I like that. the All-Star game, for instance. It was one of those instances where I thought, I don't know if I'm going to like this. It seems like Adam Silver continues to push the right buttons as commissioner of the NBA.
Yeah, I'll be up front. I like Adam Silver a great deal. He's not perfect. Like you, there have been other times where I said, hey, you know what, that's not cool. Or like, I'll be up front. You know, even though I'll wax poetic about how great the league is, the way they handled the China situation, the way they handled, you know, like kind of throwing the players out there saying, hey, you guys go help us out. You know, like, you speak for us. I didn't like that. And that was really the one point, the one moment in his tenure where I'll say, hey, you know what, Adam Silver, I don't like the way you handled that. But outside of that, I agree with you. He's, you know, he seems to be very progressive, whether it's in social concerns or just, you know, being willing to make changes on the fly. You know, you can tell. Basically, I feel as an NBA fan very secure with the direction of the league. I would not feel necessarily quite as secure if I were, you know, quite as big of a fan of other leagues.
Jabari, you mentioned something a few moments ago. You were unaware or unsure of how engaged teams would be coming back into the bubble. And I think it's a comfort deal. You know, I believe once we get to the postseason, we are going to see teams engage because, let's be honest, I mean, we watched a game last night with the Lakers and the Rockets. The Lakers looked totally uninterested in that contest. They looked uninterested against the Oklahoma City Thunder. These games typically, they really don't mean anything for this team right now. Now, you have another squad like Houston last night. They're jockeying for position, trying to make sure that they grab maybe even a 3 seed. It's possible. But in the same sense, do you believe that the engagement level from what we've seen from the top-tier teams has been on point, or do you believe there's still a work in progress?
I think the engagement level has been great. Like, you know, you're right in terms of the Lakers. Like, once it did appear that when they came, you know, when they came to, they were locked in, and I was like, oh, okay, wow, they're ready to go. But once they secured the spot and it didn't matter, it is very evident to me that they are not necessarily. I'm not going to say they're not taking it seriously, but I'm not. I will say they are prioritizing, you know, health and exploring every option in terms of the rotation and things of that nature over actually winning the games now that it doesn't matter.
So from a leadership standpoint, let's move over to the other Los Angeles squad because they decided to take the route of load management when we had the first regular season. The Clippers aren't really in a position where they can play around like the Lakers are.
Yeah, you know, they're in a spot. Well, not only that, like the Lakers and like a couple of the teams, I the reason why I think the Clippers are going at it. They've got some new players, new folks to work into their rotation. Now, you know, one could say the same thing, you know, for the Lakers, and maybe they're, you know, doing a little bit more exploring. But the Clippers always seem like a team, to be honest with you, that was going to do this. You know, load manage throughout the course of the year, ramp it up down the stretch. They were built for that. You know, it was evident, and they've actually been clear that that's been their strategy. I know that, you know, that was like, you know, that was a dirty game, or, you know, quote unquote, a few years ago. But that's really going to be the norm, in my honest opinion, moving forward, especially with teams with players that have a history of injuries.
Again, our guest right now is Jabari Davis. We're going to talk more about his work in just a few moments as we continue to talk about the NBA in the bubble. Jabari, we did talk about the Portland Trail Blazers on the show yesterday. I've had listeners tell me they believe that this team could cause a problem. And look, let's be real. This is not your typical 32-38 team. This squad looks good, and it's because of what they have coming out of the backcourt. I mean, we could talk about Carmelo Anthony. I get it. But still, when you look at what this team has coming out of the backcourt, 32-38, this is a pretty good basketball team.
Yeah, like, you can throw the records out. I know, I'm speaking generally. I know that you're not overly concerned with it. But anybody that, you know, let's say you weren't necessarily paying attention to the Blazers, you can throw that record out. They went through a bunch of injuries. They had people in and out of the lineup. They finally got Nurkic back healthy. You mentioned him earlier. Carmelo Anthony is I won't call it a resurgence, but he's still a very, still a highly effective player for a 35-year-old, you know, veteran. But really, the money is from the backcourt, like you said. Anytime you have, you know, a secondary guy and C.J. McCollum, where some people will say, you know, he could be a number one guy. No, he's actually the perfect number two guy. Anytime you have a guy that can do the things that he can do offensively, whether generating offense for himself or, you know, or creating for others, and then you've got Dame in your backcourt, you're going to be a formidable opponent. So anybody that is looking at them and saying, like, oh, you know, if you look at their record or whatever the case may be, no, I do believe no matter where they end up, whether it's in the eighth spot or – if they end up in a situation, they're going to be a difficult out. I'm not predicting any crazy outcomes like, you know, say Charles Barkley, but I will say there's not going to be any sweeping of these Blazers.
No, I'll tell you right now, if it's the Lakers and Blazers in the first round, that goes six, maybe even seven games. I truly believe that.
Yes. No. Well, let's be honest. Like, anybody, look, the Lakers, from a talent standpoint, they may have the bigger of the stars, you know, whether, you know, physically or figuratively. But the truth of the matter is, anybody that has a strong backcourt is going to give the Lakers some fits. You know, whether they had Rondo and Avery Bradley or not, that was going to be the case, but especially without those two guys. I know a lot of people like to make fun of the fact that Rondo's out and, you know, okay, yeah, other guys can step up. But the truth of the matter is, while Rondo may not be a great player at this stage in his career, and I'm not going to be disrespectful, but I'm also not going to blow smoke, he's not. He's at least another serviceable guy that you can throw at some of those guys. So what will be interesting is, can guys like Caruso not just be effective, but stay on the court, not get into foul trouble? Can guys like Quinn Cook step in for a couple minutes here and there and be effective and not just be completely overmatched? You know, can the rest of those guys, can everybody step up and at least make it a respectable, you know, respectable comparison at the position without getting into major foul trouble? Because I'll be honest with you, not to be the doom and gloom guy, if you start off the games getting in foul trouble and they're going back and forth to the free throw line throughout the course of the game, that's where the series, and that's where a game in particular, but that's where the series can get very ugly if you're the Lakers playing the Blazers.
Yeah, Jabari, you mentioned the Lakers. LeBron James has not looked great since the restart. I mean, he even go back to the game against the Clippers. I didn't think LeBron looked great. He did some great things defensively. He had one of the most impressive defensive stints that you'll see towards the end of that contest. Didn't play last night due to the groin injury. When you look at LeBron, are you concerned at all about maybe the age, 35 years old and playing every other night, not having long breaks? Or is it simply LeBron is just resting? We haven't seen the best LeBron. Your thoughts on what we've seen from him so far?
All right, so I've got you know, the devil and angel, you know, situation on the shoulders going on here, right? So the angel's telling me, okay, hey, you know what? Come on, like, think about it. He's 35 years old. They're going to be smart about it. He's got it. You know, he stays in tremendous shape. He's probably just making sure to prime that motor to make sure everything is ready to go, you know, down the stretch and when they head into the postseason. But the devil on the other shoulder is saying, hey, you know what? He's 35 years old. He had a catastrophic injury last year. The groin is a situation that is tricky, that you just cannot, you know, necessarily predict. If all of a sudden, after 4 months, all of a sudden, you know, you've got a 35-year-old coming off of a, you know, a groin injury, you know, within the same calendar year, and all of a sudden you've got to get it going, could that be something? So all of that to say, I'm cautiously optimistic when it comes to LeBron James. I think if it were something like catastrophic, I think they would probably be a little bit more upfront. The fact that they're being, you know, kind of guarded about it makes me honestly believe that it's more for precautionary measures.
All right, so let's talk about the biggest disappointment in your mind. For me, I don't think there's any doubt. I've been extremely disappointed in the New Orleans Pelicans. Maybe a lot of the hype that the league had pushed behind the Zion train, maybe that added to what I thought would be a little bit more of a compelling storyline, but I'm still of the mindset that they put the four-game stretch in. You know, you got to be within four games of the eight seed to attempt to get Zion into the postseason. I firmly believe that from a marketing standpoint. So who's been the biggest disappointment for you? Is it New Orleans or another squad?
No, you hit it on the head, and you're absolutely right. I don't care what anybody says. They 1,000,000% wanted to have Zion, not just in that conversation. They wanted him in the postseason. I'm not going to go as far as to say they were grooving it, you know, so that it could be there, but let's just say they weren't making it more difficult for the Pelicans to get there, even with that difficult remaining, even with the, you know, the difficulty of their remaining schedule. So I can't really look at any other way. Now, I don't want to put too much on them, because the truth of the matter is they're a very young team that actually the roster doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense, because they've got a bunch of young stars. They've got a bunch of guys that are trying to work their way to that second deal. And then they have some, like, older vets that they picked up that realistically should be on contenders or a team that is in contention. So I think that, you know, like, I think ultimately it's going to be one of those, like, okay, not necessarily go back to the drawing board situations, but okay, let's continue to build on what we have. Let's continue to evaluate these players. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more or a better of an effort, you know, in some of these games. But the truth of the matter is, you know, they're still at least a year away, if not two, and they probably have some work to do with that roster.
Okay, so now we can talk about the biggest surprise, because it's not a surprise to me that Toronto was playing lights out. In fact, I picked them at the beginning of the year to represent the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals. I'm sticking to it. This is a very good basketball team. However, one of the squads that really should be getting a little bit more pub, and they're right there in this playoff conversation, it is the Phoenix Suns. And so for me, Jabari, I mean, the bigger surprise to you, is it Toronto or Phoenix? For me, it's Phoenix, hands down. I think they've been the best surprise of the playoff bubble so far.
Yeah, Toronto's the biggest surprise of the season, all in total, but definitely the Suns are the biggest surprise of the bubble. Like, you know, let's be honest. I don't think they won four consecutive games throughout the course of the entire regular season, and all of a sudden they come into the bubble, rip-raring and ready to go. I did not necessarily anticipate a young team doing this. I thought, I thought if anybody had the advantage going into this scenario, it would have been a veteran team that has been together for the extended period of time, that had kind of been through the fires. But all of a sudden, you got this young team that maybe it's just a matter of they don't know any better, or maybe it's just a matter of they entered a bubble, all kind of clicking on the right cylinders, and we might get a really fun story here. Look, at the very least, we're going to have a very if I'm not mistaken, we're going to have that play-in style tournament concerning that eighth spot in the West, and I'm absolutely here for it. So that as well, that's just another thing that the NBA has gotten right.
Jabari Davis, again, our guest right now. Jabari, it is always a pleasure to get you on to talk NBA basketball. I can end with this. Everything that's going on in the world, everything that 2020 has brought us, I mean, it's been just, for lack of a better word, a terrible year, right? Has basketball given you, as a spectator, just some sort of escape? I mean, is it worked in that sense for you?
It's not an escape, because the way I work, I'm always going to be cognizant of the things that are going on, but I will say it's a little bit of a reprieve. So maybe I'm parsing words. Maybe those are one and the same, but I will state I'm very happy to have it back. Again, concerned about everybody involved, whether it's the players, the staff, the coaches, and everybody surrounding the situation. But thank you all for these, I won't say sacrifices, but for taking the risk that you're taking for all of our entertainment.
Yeah, and honestly, it's proven it may be the most safest place in the United States of America right now.
I'd like to be in there.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Jabari Davis, again, co-host of Dunks and Discourse, a podcast on the Blue Wire Pods Network. Jabari, before I let you go, you got to tell us about the show.
Oh, man, again, Jordan, thank you so much for this opportunity. I know we go back a long time, and your listeners probably are like, yeah, why are these guys... I truly mean it. It's always a great time coming on here. The show, like you mentioned, it's on Blue Wire Pods. It's with my guy Josh Everly. Really fun. It's a basketball, but it's also an entertainment show. Hence the name. We get into some topical things. Whatever's going on in the news. That strikes our fancy or is impacting a large percentage of people. But ultimately, it's really about talking about the NBA because we both love it, and talking about movies and TV shows because I am an absolute addict of both. For anybody that's interested in listening, you can get it on anywhere out there, whether it's Spotify or Apple, Apple Play or wherever you can. So again, thank you, Jordan. I do appreciate it.
No, it's my pleasure. I know we're going to catch up again next week. Jabari, thank you so much for the time. I look forward to catching up again.
Already looking forward to it.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. Again, live from the Auto Farm Studios right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
Full slate of baseball games coming up in just a bit. Although we only have one going on right now, Nationals and the Orioles. But we'll be off and rolling with a full slate of games here in just a moment, including the Yankees. The Yankees will battle it out with the Tampa Bay Rays. Should be an interesting matchup. The Yankees right now at 9-3, but they did suffer a loss last night to the Philadelphia Phillies 5-4. So Philly beat the Yankees 11-7. They beat them 5-4. They lost 3-1. Three games those two teams played. But it wasn't necessarily the power of JT Realmuto. It wasn't Hector Neris that we're talking about. We're talking about Aaron Boone and his complaints following the game last night. Actually, during the game, he had complained to the umpires in between innings about the noise. Now, Travis, I'll admit, I did not watch the Yankees-Phillies game yesterday, but I saw that Aaron Boone was upset about the noise, and I had to stop and think for a minute. Okay, well, there's no fans in the stands. right? I mean, everyone's been to baseball games. Air horns are illegal. You can't take an air horn with you to a baseball game. They're going to take it from you almost immediately. There's no fans in the stands. So immediately I start thinking, okay, whoever is responsible for the manufactured noise, the artificial noise that's being pumped through, maybe they're doing something while the Yankees are at bat. I don't know. No. Aaron Boone was upset because there was a group of Philadelphia Philly fans, the Fandemic Crew as they call them, a group of diehards that stood out Citizens Bank Park and they were screaming and yelling and blowing an air horn through a gate. And Aaron Boone was upset about this. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm reading what Aaron Boone said after the game. He said, it sounded like a horn was going off as the pitch was being thrown. And you know, in the environment we're in, it's almost like a golf environment where the sudden thing can, you know, so throw off the batting, timing, that sort of thing with the element, Boone said. I don't necessarily think that they would be able to do anything about it. So I asked the umpires. The umpires said, we can't do anything about it.
Yeah, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do?
No, they're not in the game. They're not in
the
stadium.
They're not in the stadium. The major league umpires have no jurisdiction to go outside the stadium and throw someone out, kick them. What are you going to do? This is my problem with Aaron Boone. I do believe that Aaron Boone is a player's manager, right? The Yankees are going to have success, not only because of the talent, but because Aaron Boone is a fantastic leader of this group. But doesn't it seem that anytime something goes wrong, Aaron Boone likes to point fingers? And this right here is extremely soft. I mean, this is baseball that we're talking about. He refers to it as a golf environment. Yeah, I get it, but guess what? It's not golf, right? That's one of my favorite things about baseball. It's something that I have said for years on this show. Tiger Woods, you can't click a camera in Tiger Woods' backswing as he's teeing off with a stationary ball, yet you can scream, yell, take pictures, and taunt Mike Trout as a pitcher's throwing a 95-mile-an-hour fastball at his dome. And it doesn't distract baseball players because it's part of the game. And so for Aaron Boone to take the time out and walk over to the umpires, what did he think they were going to do? These Philly fans, there's a video of it. These Philly fans are outside the stadium blowing an air horn through the gate. What do you want them to do? Apparently, they watch the game on a TV or they listen to it on the radio, and that's how they follow it. So they've got to be a little bit behind to begin with. But the fans, they stopped blaring the air horn during pitches, but they used it to celebrate big moments for the Phillies.
And no, they're not harming anything.
They're not. You can't do anything about this. A night earlier, the crew hired... This is a real story. A night earlier, the Fandemic crew, they hired a drumline to play during the game. Now, Jordan Montgomery, who's a starter for the Yankees, said that the drumline was crazy, but it was no different than fans in the stands. But Montgomery started complaining that the announcers were being really loud mid-pitch during J.A. Happ and other guys' pitches. And Montgomery claimed that the Philly announcers were not doing the same for their team, and he said it's messed up, it's disrespectful. Tom McCarthy, who's the TV broadcaster for the Phillies, tweeted out last night that that was funny in response to Montgomery's claims. I mean, really, is this just the Yankees upset because they lost 2 out of 3 to Philly?
Yeah, it's more the Yankees aren't playing great baseball right now, so they're kind of just throwing things at the wall, trying to see what's going to stick, and, you know, passing the blame elsewhere and not on themselves.
Look, it's home field advantage, right? The biggest issue I have with it is you have players and you have managers now complaining that fans are sitting outside the stadium having a good time supporting baseball. You're really going to complain about that?
Which baseball is a dying sport anyways. And
well, it appears to be. I'm telling you, it's not going to happen when you go to New York. Rally your fan base to do something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's nothing you can do about it. I mean, I was a little bit... I was almost dumbfounded reading this story that this is what the Yankees were complaining about. But again, it goes back to what should have happened to begin with. They should be playing in a bubble in Arizona. Players didn't want that. And I guess maybe over the last 4 or 5 months, I have grown tired of the constant complaints of athletes. Really, I have. I've grown tired of it because we're in the middle of a worldwide pandemic. They continue to make millions of dollars. We have hundreds of thousands of Americans that are out of work, worried about what this pandemic is going to bring for the future, and these guys complain about little issues. I mean, the fact that we're only getting a 60-game baseball season, a lot of it had to do with the Players Association. And now they're complaining about fans hanging around outside the stadium? Come on. Come on. And I have to believe, I know there's a lot of Yankee fans in this area, and if you are a Yankee fan and you're telling me this is justified, you wouldn't be saying squat had the Yankees won this game 5-4 yesterday. Had the Yankees not lost a shootout with Philly and then lost again in a 5-4 closely contested contest, nobody would have said a word. In fact, JT Realmuto, one of the best offensive catchers in the game today, said, quote, "It's nice to hear something, even if they are quite far away." Yeah, they're far away. They're really far away. He said it's fun to get a little bit of fans out there. It's better than listening to silence. Unless you're the Yankees or unless you're losing. This bothers me for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's just being poor sports. That's all.
It is, yes. Poor sportsmanship.
When it comes down to it, the Yankees are being poor sports about a situation where they lost two games, so now they're blaming a guy with an air horn out in right field.
It's one dude standing outside yelling through the gate.
And his Lenny Dykstra jersey.
Ah, come on. You gotta be better than that, Aaron Boone. You have to be better than that. Let's take a quick commercial break. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We are live from the Auto Farm Studios.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Still on tap for a full slate of baseball games. However, things have changed just a tad bit. The Cardinals and the Cubbies will not participate in this weekend series. It has now been postponed due to another positive COVID test for the St. Louis Cardinals. And this really, really complicates things. Because now if the Cardinals were to get back to action on Monday, which at this point in time seems far-fetched, if you're postponing this weekend set, I don't think the Cardinals are going to be playing on Monday. But if they were, Travis, they would essentially have to play 55 games in 49 days to get through the season. This team has played 5 games up to this point. The Cardinals right now, 2-3. They have not played since July, what was it?
29th.
Oh my goodness. Here we are, August 7th.
It's a lot of doubleheaders you're going to make up in that stretch if, you know, when it comes to, you know, getting around to the schedule. But that's a lot of games to make up in that short amount of time. Like you said, even if they start back up next week, which, who knows?
It doesn't seem likely.
No, I don't think so either. So, I don't know. What are we going to do with the Cardinals?
I don't know. We had this conversation with Bill Lasky earlier in the week. And, well, the Cardinals have played 5 games. The Marlins have only played 7. So, it's not as if they're...
And they keep winning.
Yeah. For some way, they keep winning. But at what point in time, and I don't know what the rules are, and I know that Rob Manfred was very, very strict, sent out a very, very harsh memo to teams saying, look, the season will continue with or without you, is basically what he said. At what point in time do players who have violated the rules, at what point in time did they receive a punishment? Right, because it's possible that you can contract COVID-19 just at home because these guys aren't playing in a bubble. But when you find out, well, the Marlins, they went out to a gentleman's club, didn't they?
Yeah, when they were doing their preseason summer league, whatever you want to call it, they were in Atlanta. They all went out, and some of them left the hotel and went to the store and all that sort of thing. And then it spread like wildfire. And then there's, you know, Reno reports with the Cardinals that they were at like a casino.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a problem. That's a very big problem. Nonetheless, I just don't see how St. Louis can play 55 games in 49 days. Really, I don't. Like you said, a lot of doubleheaders, and I know that they have changed the rules stating that a doubleheader is going to be 7 innings.
2 7-inning games, which the doubleheaders will be.
Still a lot of baseball.
But though, where are you going to make these games up? On the back end of the schedule? So everybody's going to finish their schedule, and then we have to wait for the Cardinals to finish those up? Because they're probably going to have rainouts during the, you know, the stretch as well, as the season moves along. Plus, they got to make up the ones that they've missed.
Mm-hmm.
And how are those other teams, how are you going to fix it to where they can get those games in?
Yeah.
I don't know how you move it around.
The Cardinals have made a mess of what's already been a messy baseball season. Out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We'll be back again to do it on Monday. I want to thank Jabari Davis for taking out the time to join us. Enjoy the rest of the weekend, and we'll catch you back here Monday. Be safe. We are out.